My name is Chad, but my friends call me the Roadrunner. And to be honest, it's not because I'm athletic, nor is it because I'm into cartoons. It's actually because I will rather walk to any destination, no matter how far, than ever ordering an Uber again. It's become more of a habit, really, as I literally swore off using the Uber service. And if where I'm going is really that far, I'll rather just use the nearest public transportation. Now, I'm sure you're all wondering why I would rather walk and show up to my destination, all sweaty and tired, rather than just using a quicker and more convenient Uber like everyone else. But after hearing the experience of my first and last Uber ride, you too will decide to walk. As I said earlier, my name is Chad, but my full name is Chad Kojo Adofo, and I am African. I lived in Africa, Nigeria, for most of my life, and I was born in Benin City. Now, to be honest with you, my country isn't fully developed as we are still, more or less, in the rural to the urbanization phase of development. And while the rural side is still going strong, urbanization is steadily rising. But the thing is, due to the rural traditional side still going strong, my city has gained a reputation for being the hub of spiritualists, ritualists, and traditionalists. So every day, you'd continuously hear numerous strange stories of people having vivid and uncanny spiritual encounters. Apart from that, you'd also hear tales of people being used for satanic rituals. In addition to the non-stop occurrence of weird and unexplainable events, basically everything down the line of the spiritual and supernatural phenomenons. In truth, I hadn't really paid attention to any of this, as I was born and raised in the urban side of the city, so I really didn't believe much of it, and I took the endless barrage of strange tales with a grain of salt. As the years passed by, due to the slow urbanization, we didn't always have most of these popular car riding companies like Uber or Bolt, so we had to stick with our really bad public transportation. But as more time went by, urbanization grew, and we started getting most of these services, and while they first started operating in the major cities like our capital of Abuja and Lagos, they eventually expanded to smaller states like mine, and it didn't take long before the Uber service was announced to be coming to Benin City. It was on October 7th, 2017, a day I can never forget. I had to get to a meeting early, so I decided to use one of the popular and easy car riding companies available. Now, while the Bolt car riding service was operating in my city at the time, I wasn't sure if Uber was, so I tried out the Bolt app first, but unfortunately, I wasn't near any Bolt drivers, so I decided to try using an Uber, as the week before, I had seen an article that read, "The Uber car riding service is coming soon to Benin." I was in a rush, so I didn't check to see if we had actually gotten the service yet because, as I mentioned earlier, the only places where the Uber service was operating were in the capital of Nigeria, Abuja, and another large city called Lagos. But I still moved forward with it as I assumed we had gotten the service due to the article I read. So with no hesitation, I went to download the app. When I was done, I opened the app to book a ride, but I became confused as I wasn't seeing any drivers on the map. I tried to request a ride, but it was taking a really long time as no drivers were responding. I then assumed we hadn't gotten the service yet, and I began to get frustrated as the only option I had left was the really bad public transport. And right as I was about to give up, a black Jeep rolled up and stopped directly in front of me. I assumed it was an Uber driver who responded to my ride request, so I stepped forward. But when I looked through the car's front windows, I couldn't see anyone in the driver's seat, and that startled me. I became really confused, and as I was about to say something, the windows started rolling down, and to my amazement, there was a man sitting in the driver's seat. He called me by my full name, which I assumed he got from the app, so I quickly replied with him, "Yes, that's me." I then asked him, "Are you my Uber driver?" And he quickly replied with me, "Get in." I had a perplexed look on my face now, as that didn't answer my question, but I told myself that he had to be the driver, as that was the only feasible explanation as to why he knew my name, and stopped to pick me up. I then started feeling pretty weird as everything about the driver felt a bit off, but I was running pretty late, so against my better judgment, I got into the car. As the ride started, I was still a bit worried as I truly didn't see anyone through the car's windows when the car first arrived, and I was positive that the windows weren't tinted. To calm myself down, I eventually came to the conclusion that it was a special kind of glass, so I brushed it off. But as the ride continued, numerous things didn't feel right. For starters, we hadn't met any traffic, and that was a very unusual occurrence, as there was normally a lot of traffic by this time due to most of the roads possessing numerous potholes and being worn out. Experiencing traffic had become an essential part of everyone's morning routine, especially when leaving this late. The second thing I found really odd was that it was really quiet, as I couldn't hear anything outside, and that in itself was unusual, as again, normally by this time, the road was usually crowded because everyone was trying to get where they wanted to be. So the sounds of car horns, shouting drivers, and people trying to buy things from the roadside market had become second nature. I remember looking out through the car's window, and I couldn't see much, as the only thing I could make out was the silhouettes of black Jeeps, similar to the one I was in. I began to feel really anxious, and the driver, who hadn't said a word, didn't seem to care. Just then, a notification popped up on my phone. It was a message from my brother, and it read, "Hey Chad, your coworker Johnny called. He said you haven't arrived at work yet. I hope you're okay." Seeing the message calmed me down as it took my mind off the weird things that were happening. So I quickly replied him with a message that read, "Don't worry, I had a little delay, but I'm taking an Uber and I'll be there soon." It didn't take long for my brother to respond, and when I read the new message, it sent chills down my spine. "Uber? Chad, what are you talking about? The Uber car riding service isn't operating in Benin. The last report from the company stated that they will start operating here in 2019. That's 2 years from now, dude. Didn't you see it on the news?" It was then that I realized I never really read the Uber article, as I finally recalled only seeing the headlines that read, "Soon," but with no particular date. That's when it hit me, as I finally figured out why it was taking a lot of time to get a driver on the app before. Without thinking, I rushed to open the Uber app, as I remembered I didn't later check it to cross-check the driver's info before getting into the car, as I was in a hurry. And as I finally opened the app, a horrific realization dawned on me, as I saw the app was currently still searching for drivers. Just then, a notification popped up and said, "Sorry, the Uber car riding service doesn't operate in this region." Within seconds, crippling fear filled my body as the question, "If this isn't an Uber, then what car am I in?" popped into my head. My breathing became really heavy, and I think the driver noticed, so he began to roll down the windows. The air outside felt cold and unnatural as it filled the car, and strangely, I could also hear the humming of a familiar song coming from outside the car, and I didn't know where it was coming from. But for the first time, I could clearly see my surroundings, and my suspicions were true, as I was surrounded by numerous black Jeeps that looked exactly like the one I was in. Just then, the car to my right also began rolling down its windows, and as I looked into the car, I saw my grandma sitting in the back seat humming the familiar song that I was hearing. I let out a loud scream, and it was not because of all the strange things that had been happening. No, it was because my grandma, who was sitting in that seat, had died nearly 15 years ago when I was 10 years old. And there she was, humming the song she usually did. I screamed again, but this time I couldn't hear the sound of my own scream as the air had become really dense. At that moment, only one thing was running through my mind, and it was to get out of the car as soon as possible. I tapped the driver on the shoulder to tell him that I wanted to get out of the car as I was experiencing and seeing strange things. But when he turned back, my heart leaped into my throat, as my driver, who was once a man, was now a rotting corpse. I could see maggots squirming in and out of his face, and it was completely rotten. And as he opened his mouth to speak, the morbid smell quickly retracted me back into the passenger seat. As my back touched the nice leather of the seat, I felt the chair begin to suck me in like quicksand. It's hard to explain, but it became really difficult to breathe as I was physically being sucked into the car. And right then, the car that was once empty began to fill up with other passengers as figures began to appear beside me. First, it was a rotten headless dog that had a peculiar shade of brown fur. And the fur, in addition to the appearance of the dog's body, was awfully similar to the childhood dog I had as a kid. Within minutes, the dog then disappeared and it was replaced with numerous pale children. They were all wearing wet clothes and it looked like they had drowned, as they possessed blue lips and fingernails. And right before I was completely sucked into the chair, the last passenger that I saw was a woman who I could never forget. It was my fourth grade teacher, Miss Adana, and I could see a large bleeding gash in her rotting head. That was the last thing I saw before I entered complete darkness. I woke up a few weeks later in the hospital to see my brother sitting right beside me. The cops came in shortly after I awoke, and they told me my body was found near a well-known mysterious and dangerous river, as the river was regularly used by traditionalists and spiritualists for their unauthorized spiritual and occultist-related activities. They told me to tell them everything that happened that day, and I did. As I told my story, the elderly cop began to look at me in awe, as he revealed that nearly 20 years ago, a woman who took a strange taxi was found near the same river, and she too told a strange story, one that was oddly similar to mine. Throughout that day, after the cops had left, a particular memory kept replaying in my head. It was the memory of the day I went for an excursion in fourth grade, me and the rest of my classmates, and went to see an old lake for history class. And we went with our history teacher, Miss Adana, and the class assistant, Mr. Smith. I remember my friends were getting really excited to swim in it, but I was feeling really anxious and scared, as I couldn't swim, so I began to cry. My tantrum started making the other kids act up, so Miss Adana then told the class to wait patiently with Mr. Smith as she was going to drop me off at the school before coming back. But on the trip back to school, I remember, I kept bawling my eyes in the back seat of the car. And as Miss Adana started trying to comfort me and drive at the same time, she became distracted and unfortunately, she wasn't able to see the pothole that was ahead on the road. I remember the car swerving and bashing into a tree. The impact of the hit made the car's windscreen break, and I watched in horror as a huge shard of glass pierced itself deeply through Miss Adana's head. I remember her struggling to breathe, as she did, and I did nothing but watch. I was eventually found later that day at the scene of the accident, and I was rushed to the hospital. That night, on the news, I saw a headline that read, 13 children left unattended on an excursion to the lake had drowned. I was shocked to see the morbid headlines, as it was revealed that a group of 13 children had sneaked away and left the group of their fellow classmates to go swim by themselves in the river, and they had unfortunately drowned. The adult on the scene, Mr. Smith, who was meant to take care of the children, released a statement that said, "It was meant to be a two-man job, as I really couldn't handle the whole class all by myself. My colleague, Miss Adana, who was meant to be there with me, unfortunately had to take an uncomfortable child that was throwing a tantrum back to school. The distance is not that far and we expected her to return quickly, but she never did." That incident was something I struggled with throughout my childhood years, as I blamed myself every single day for what happened. The guilt I felt was unbearable, and as I sat on the hospital bed remembering this sad memory, I felt the crippling guilt that I hadn't felt in a while once again. And exactly 3 years ago, the Uber car riding service was launched in Benin City in the year 2019. And while my friends were joyous, I found myself with a terrified look on my face, as I was the only one who wasn't really happy about the news. Till today, some people still don't believe my tale, as they either tell me that I was hallucinating, and some believe that it could have been something I had taken or inhaled like a hard drug that caused me to hallucinate and see visions. But I know, deep down in my heart, that everything I saw truly happened. Now that you know my story, I hope you understand why I will never use an Uber again. Because I would rather be called the Roadrunner and walk 1,000 miles than ever take a trip through the land of the dead again. I got a really shitty SUV from my uncle on my 21st birthday. I hated it because it was huge and bulky. It looked like a family car, and it really wasn't what a 21-year-old should be driving. So I decided to use it as an Uber driver to make more money to get a better car. So I cleaned it up, made sure it was in good condition, and once everything checked out, I started driving as an Uber XL driver. As I said earlier, it was a really big car, and due to the fact that it was technically an SUV, I could use it to carry more passengers and make more money. I worked my butt off all through summer, and after a while, I was finally able to earn all the money I wanted. I just needed 2 more rides to reach my goal. It was on a sunny Saturday. I was sitting in my car when I got a request to carry 5 people. I quickly accepted, as I knew after this, it was just going to be 1 ride left to get to my goal. On my way to pick up the first person, I looked at the destination, and it seemed like they were all going to the outskirts of the city, which was by the forest path. It was weird as I began to wonder what five people were going to be doing all the way out there surrounded by nothing but the forest. But the thought of getting paid and cruising in my new car removed all my curiosity. So I drove on with a smile on my face. I remember reaching the first passenger, who seemed to be an elderly woman. She wore a dark robe with short sleeves, and I noticed that she also wore dark makeup on her face, which gave her a gothic look. To be honest, she looked pretty high, as she had an elated expression on her face, as it looked like she was going to see something wonderful. I asked her if she ordered the Uber, and she just nodded her head in agreement. As I said earlier, she looked pretty elderly, so I got out of the car to open the door for her. As she walked in, I noticed numerous scars on her arms and hands, but I didn't say anything about it. When she was settled in, I then got back into the car and rode on. The car was extremely quiet as we went to get the second passenger. It was a woman who looked like she was in her early 20s, and the woman was also wearing similar dark robes to the ones the elderly woman wore. She also had the same dark makeup gothic look, with similar scarring on her hands and arms, and when she got into the car, she looked at the elderly woman and said, "Greetings, follower." And with that, silence followed. Now, my mind started to go to numerous places as I wondered what they were going to do. So I began to think out loud as I asked the question, "Are you guys cosplayers?" But to my surprise, nothing but silence answered me. As I picked up the remaining three passengers, I began to get more anxious as things were getting weirder. The third person was a middle-aged man who wore the same robes and makeup as the females were wearing. The fourth was a teenage boy who also sported the same attire and makeup. And the fifth was a little girl who looked like she was 14. By the time I had picked them all up, it was nearing the evening time, and I finally proceeded to start the journey. I remember the ride being tense as they didn't use their phones, which was very odd for people living in the 21st century. They also didn't speak much, and when they did, they spoke really weirdly. I began to get really anxious, and everything in my body told me to cancel the ride and tell them all to get out of my car. But I really wanted the money, so I calmed myself and drove on. It was getting pretty late, and as we drove deeper into the outskirts of the city, the forest began to surround us. I remember asking them, "Are you guys shorts this way?" And in response, the elderly lady touched my shoulder and said in a really soft voice, "Take us to the path that's green, to the one who needs to be seen." To my amazement, they then all began to chant the weird mantra continuously and in unison as they all said, "Take us to the path that's green, to the one who needs to be seen. Take us to the path that's green, to the one who needs to be seen." As they continued to repeatedly chant this strange mantra, I began to feel suffocated, and after a while, I began to freak out, so I hastily pulled over the car and stopped the ride. Immediately, they all stopped reciting the mantra, and they all began to stare at me. I then remember telling them, "I'm not sure I want to continue this trip. You guys are really making me uncomfortable with that weird poem you're reciting." The little girl beside me then looked me dead in the eyes and said, "Move, child, and I will give you huge worldly earnings." Shocked, I looked at her with a perplexed look on my face as the girl, who I was sure was probably 14 or 15, called me child like she was 60. I then remember replying to her strange statement with, "You mean a tip?" She then proceeded to bring out $600. Once I saw the money, it was as if my mind went blank, as I knew if I took the tip, I wouldn't have to take another ride, and the $600 was basically all I needed to complete the money I was saving for a new car. So against better judgment, I immediately agreed to go with the trip, and I drove on. After a while, we eventually reached the destination on the map, but they told me to go a bit further off the road and into the forest, as their true destination wasn't on the map. Looking back on it now, I don't know why, but I quickly agreed, as I really wanted to get the $600, and I was going to do anything to get it. So with no hesitation, I drove off the road and into the forest. It had gotten pretty dark by the time we reached our destination. There was a clearing in the forest, and in the middle of the strange place, numerous people, donning the same dark robes, were gathered. As I took in the surroundings, I noticed that a huge mound of wood loomed over them. and there was something strange situated at the top of the mound that I couldn't make out because it was dark. As I looked around more, I could see tall fire torches implanted in the ground, giving little light. And as I finally took in the whole scene, I had a horrific realization as it slowly dawned on me that I had come to a cult gathering. The passengers in my car began to get out, and as I was about to back up and leave, I heard the sound of my tires being slit. My door was then forcefully opened, and a man then ushered me down while saying, "Join us." Scared, I replied him with, I'm sorry, but I really don't want to join any clubs. I just want to go home." The man then firmly held me by the hand, and before I could do or say anything, he pulled me out of the car within seconds. I was surrounded by two large men who restrained me before they began to pull me towards the middle of the clearing. The rest of them now started to encircle me, and I remember crying out, "Please let me go home. Please, I beg you." My pleas fell on deaf ears as they proceeded to gag me. When I wasn't able to speak or scream anymore, the two huge men then held me down, while another strange man, whom I assumed was the cult leader, walked up to me and began to speak. "Remove that scornful look on your face, child, as you are truly lucky to have been chosen for this great day. You have been presented unto the one who sees all, a great honor to behold. You will be eaten by his four-legged children, and you will be his glorious sacrifice." Cheers erupted all around me as I screamed through my gag. I frantically looked around for something to free myself with, but I couldn't find anything. I was then taken to the foot of the wooden mound. Now that I was closer, I could finally see and make out what was on top, as it seemed to be the skull of a ram. But there was something horrifying about the animal's skull, because as I looked closer, I realized that instead of two eye sockets, the skull only possessed one, which meant that when the animal was alive, it only possessed one huge eye in the middle of its head. I started to scream as my mind couldn't comprehend the sight of the morbid skull. A bucket was then brought out, and each of them took out a knife. One by one, they began to slightly slit their arms and hands, and they took turns spilling their blood into the bucket. They all did this till the bucket was full to the brim. The leader then carried the bucket and emptied it on my head. I screamed and struggled, but they held me down. Soaked in blood, I watched as the two large men came toward me with huge sticks and then began to continuously strike my legs. The pain was unbearable as I felt and heard my legs break. They stopped when they were sure I couldn't move. One by one, I watched as they all left me there in the darkness. I knew it was only a matter of time before the blood that was poured on me attracted the dangerous forest animals. I could already hear the howling of wolves in the distance. I didn't want to die, so I began to frantically look around, and out of the corner of my eye, I could see the silhouette of my SUV. And I then noticed that the door I was pulled out of was still open. I never thought in a million years that seeing the car that I thought was ugly would give me so much hope. I told myself that it wasn't that far, so I began to crawl towards it. I still don't know how I managed to do it, but I mustered all the strength I could and I started to crawl. As I crawled on the floor, I felt a whole world of pain. I felt the stones dig into my belly. I felt the ants and mosquitoes feast on my flesh. Every inch of my body seared with pain. But I didn't give up because I truly wanted to live, so I kept on crawling. I finally got to the car, and with all the strength I could muster, I pulled myself in. Once I got into the driver's seat, I was breathing pretty hard, and through the car's windscreen, I could see the silhouette of wolves in the moonlight. They had finally arrived, and as they noticed I was in the car, they all rushed towards it. With no hesitation, I quickly shut the door with the last strength I could muster. Paralyzed with fear, I could hear them scratching and pawing at the doors. They did that for about 2 hours before they stopped and left. I felt like I was going to die inside the car, as I had been there for a while. The sun had started to come up, so I began to look around to find something or anything that could potentially help me. It didn't take long before I felt something. It was my phone. Hope filled me as I thought I had lost it, but it had apparently just fallen out of my hand when I was pulled out of the car. I managed to unlock it, and as I tried to call the cops, all hope left me as I had no cell service. I then began to hear footsteps outside the car as fear began to fill me again. I thought the members of the cult had come back to check if I was dead, and I frantically started trying to call the cops again, when a lady who looked like a hiker walked right past me. With no hesitation, I called out to her as I begged her to help me. She then brought out a walkie-talkie and called for help. It didn't take long before I was surrounded by people who carried me out of the car and took me to the hospital. And the last thing I remember was heaving a sigh of relief as I passed out. I woke up to see myself surrounded by my family. They all began to cry and hug me as they told me that they were truly happy that I was alive. The doctor then came in and told them to leave as I had to recuperate. After a while, the doctor told me that luckily my legs were broken but not shattered, so with time I would heal and walk again. The cops then came in and asked me some more questions. I told them everything that happened. They said that they had analyzed my phone to try to find some backgrounds of the people I carried, but the profiles were all fake. They also said I was very lucky to be alive as not many people survived run-ins with the cult. I was later told that the cult was over 100 years old and it was called the Followers of the One Who Sees. It's been 3 years since this incident happened. I didn't get the flashy car I wanted as I kept the SUV that basically saved my life. I've been working through the trauma, but till today, I still haven't forgotten what happened on that fateful day. This morbid incident has left some lasting psychological damage on my mind, as even with all the therapy, sometimes when I close my eyes at night, I still see a horrific one-eyed ram staring right at me.